Let's read together Psalm 110. In this messianic psalm, the coming Messiah is prophetically seen as a divine king, an eternal priest, and a victorious warrior. Psalm 110, beginning with verse 1. The Lord said to my Lord, "Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. In the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning, you have the dew of your youth. The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He shall execute kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the nations. He shall fill the places with dead bodies. He shall execute the heads of many countries. He shall drink of the brook by the wayside. Therefore, he shall lift up the head." Let's begin our study of Psalm 110 with some background notes. Psalm 110 is the most quoted psalm in the New Testament. In fact, it is the most quoted portion of the whole Old Testament referred to in the New Testament. One commentator listed 33 quotations or allusions to Psalm 110 in the New Testament. Now, when we look at these New Testament quotations, it is clear that Psalm 110 is a messianic psalm. For example, the inspired author of Hebrews quotes Psalm 110, verse 1, to prove that Christ is superior to angels. I'm reading Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13. "But to which of the angels has he ever said," that is, to which of the angels has God ever said, and now comes the quotation from Psalm 110, "Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool." Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13. So Psalm 110 is a messianic psalm. Psalm 110 is a pure prophetic messianic psalm. That is, it is not a typical messianic psalm. It is not about some experience of David that is typical of the Messiah. No, this psalm has to do only with the Messiah. This psalm is pure prophecy, just like Isaiah 53 and other messianic prophetic passages. In this prophetic psalm, the coming Messiah is shown to be a divine king, an eternal priest, and a victorious warrior. And that brings us to our doctrinal points for Psalm 110. Doctrinal point number one, the Messiah is a divine king. The Messiah is a divine king. Verses 1 through 3, once again. The Lord said to my Lord, "Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. In the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning, you have the dew of your youth." In verse 1, you will notice that in most of your translations, the first Lord is in all capital letters. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. In the Hebrew, this is Jehovah or Yahweh, referring to God the Father. The second Lord is not in all caps, and in the Hebrew is Adonai, meaning Lord or Master, and refers to the Messiah. The Lord Jesus quoted this verse to the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 22 and asked them, how could David call the Messiah Lord when he would be a descendant of David? I'm reading from Matthew chapter 22, beginning with verse 41. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what do you think about Christ? Whose son is he? They said to him, the son of David. He said to them, how then does David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, and now here's the quote from Psalm 110, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. If David then calls him Lord, how is he his son? From Matthew chapter 22, verses 41 through 45. Now what's the answer to this question? The answer is that the Messiah would be David's human descendant and divine Lord. That is, the Messiah would be both human and divine. In fact, that's why Peter, at Pentecost, and the author of Hebrews quote this verse to prove the deity of Jesus. We read the quote from Hebrews. Now let's read where Peter quoted Psalm 110, verse 1, in his sermon on the day of Pentecost. I'm reading from Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 29. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, and now the quote from Psalm 110, verse 1, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. From Acts chapter 2, verses 29 through 36. Now in the verses that follow, we see that Peter's audience certainly understood the point that Peter was making when he quoted Psalm 110, verse 1, along with the other Old Testament passages as he quoted. I'm reading now from Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. From Acts chapter 2, verses 37 through 42. Now what about the rest of verse 1 of Psalm 110? Till I make your enemies your footstool. Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Right now, our Lord is in heaven at the right hand of the Father awaiting his second coming. When our Lord returns, he will establish his earthly kingdom with his throne in Jerusalem. That is Zion. Verse 2. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. At that time, there will be a restored Israel that will welcome the Lord as the morning dew welcomes the day. Verse 3. Your people shall be volunteers. In the day of your power, in the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning, you have the dew of your youth. Verses 2 and 3 here, by the way, are not about the present church, but about the coming kingdom of our Lord at his second coming. We know from the rest of prophetic scripture that resurrected believers from all ages will reign with Christ in that wonderful kingdom. The Messiah is a divine king. Doctrinal point number 2, the Messiah is an eternal priest. The Messiah is an eternal priest. Verse 4. The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. In this verse, God the Father continues to address God the Son, the Messiah, who will not only be a divine king, but an eternal priest, according to the order of Melchizedek. You remember Melchizedek? He was a priest of the Most High God back in the days of Abraham, before the law and before the priesthood in the line of Aaron. Melchizedek was also a king of Salem, that is, early Jerusalem. The point that's being made here in Psalm 110 is that our Lord is a priest, but not in the line of Aaron, because the Aaronic priesthood came to an end when the law ended. And furthermore, the Lord was from the tribe of Judah, not from the priestly tribe of Levi. On the pages of Scripture, we don't read of the beginning or end of Melchizedek, or the beginning and end of his priesthood. In that way, it portrays the Messiah's priesthood. This is what Hebrews chapter 7, verse 3 means when it says, in reference to Melchizedek, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 3. The Messiah would be a king priest with an eternal priesthood. Aren't you glad? Forever, the Lord will represent us before the Father as our Savior and priest. The Messiah is an eternal priest. And doctrinal point number three, the Messiah is a victorious warrior. The Messiah is a victorious warrior. Verses 5 through 7. The Lord is at your right hand. He shall execute kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the nations. He shall fill the places with dead bodies. He shall execute the heads of many countries. He shall drink of the brook by the wayside. Therefore, he shall lift up the head. Right now, the Lord Jesus is at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Verse 5. But he is coming back to this earth in judgment in order to establish his kingdom of righteousness. Verse 5 once again. The Lord is at your right hand. He shall execute kings in the day of his wrath. At that time, there will be the campaign and battle of Armageddon, and many will die. Read Revelation chapter 19 in this connection. And there will be a judgment of the nations, verse 6, also known as the judgment of the sheep and the goats in Matthew chapter 25. Let's read verse 6 here in Psalm 110 once again. He shall judge among the nations. He shall fill the places with dead bodies. He shall execute the heads of many countries. In verse 7, we have a beautiful picture of the Lord refreshing himself after his victorious conquest. Verse 7, he shall drink of the brook by the wayside. Therefore, he shall lift up the head. The Messiah is a victorious warrior. That brings us now to our practical application for Psalm 110. Throne or footstool? That is the question. Throne or footstool? That is the question. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 21, we read that the Lord said to the church of Laodicea, "To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." This promise is for all believers, because all believers will reign with Christ in his glorious kingdom here on this earth. The alternative is to be part of the footstool of Christ. Verse 1 of Psalm 110, the Lord said to my Lord, "Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool." The expression of footstool comes from the original practice of a victorious king placing his foot on the neck of his vanquished enemy. From this practice came the expression of making one's enemies a footstool. Ultimately, this is the wrong choice of all unbelievers. They are enemies of Christ and therefore part of the footstool of the Lord. There is no middle ground. You are either for the Lord or against the Lord. You will either sit on the throne with Christ or be his footstool. I trust that all who are listening to my voice this morning will share the throne of Christ in his coming glorious kingdom. Throne or footstool? That is the question.